Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhouseonline.com.au.
Okay, well, if you're a prayerful type of person, you're probably very accustomed to praying for people that you love, your family, your friends. You might even be somebody who prays for strangers, maybe people you pass by on the street or people suffering in other parts of the world. Did you ever think, though, to pray for a terrorist? One organization in the US is encouraging people to do just that. It's called Adopt a Terrorist for Prayer, and its work is founded on the teaching of Jesus to, quote, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. Thomas Bruce is with the organization. He's on the line now. Thomas, welcome to Open House.
Hi, thank you.
This is a fascinating organization that you're a part of. How did it all begin?
Well, it began, I was really frustrated with the American response to the war on terrorism, that it was such a materialistic response. It did not seem to me to have a spiritual approach to it. It didn't seem to be mobilizing spiritual resources to what I see as primarily a spiritual issue. So I wrestled for a long time in prayer, what can be done to mobilize spiritual resources to bring a new dimension and a new awareness to this struggle. The idea of Adopt a Terrorist for Prayer struck me because there was a program called Adopt a People Group that I'd heard about and had friends participating in, where you pray for a specific ethnic group of people. And I thought, wow, you know, if you can arrange a one-to-one prayer commitment to peoples, it might be good to arrange a one-to-one prayer commitment for people who the U.S. government is looking to, you know, remove or capture.
And if anybody goes to your website, they'll see you've got a whole heap of pictures there of some very well-known terrorists, from some lesser-known terrorists or people involved in terrorist-type organizations. And they can basically pick one of those and so to speak, adopt them. Now, some people listening will be thinking, now, why would I do anything like that? Why would I do anything for a terrorist? They don't deserve any kind of help. They don't even deserve a prayer. Why even pray for them? What's your answer?
Well, there are a number of reasons. You know, if it's a spiritual battle, I believe the ideology that's driving them is a spiritual issue. And so when I look at myself and I think of, the advantages I've had, the faith the Lord has given me, I realize if I hadn't had the same advantages that I grew up with, I might be just like them. And in fact, if I had been born in Gaza, in one of those refugee camps, and you know, fed a steady diet of what, I believe is fed in those places, I would probably turn out that same way. So it's a way of putting a human face on these people, of having compassion. The issue is, if it's not a spiritual issue, and if there aren't spiritual foundations between good and evil and right and wrong, then how is it possible to oppose someone without dehumanizing them?
It's very good. How do you find inspiration for this in the Bible? I mean, who in the Bible prayed for their terrorists around them?
Well, the first, so to speak, martyr, person who was killed for his faith in Jesus Christ, was Stephen. And the person who was supervising that violence against Stephen was the Apostle Paul, before he became Paul and was known as Saul. Saul was supervising the execution of Stephen. And as he was dying, Stephen prayed for Saul and prayed for his persecutors. He said, he gazed into heaven and he asked the Lord not to hold that sin against them. Then later on, Paul had a vision of Jesus Christ and repented. So the people who are perpetrating violence in the name of religion are deceived. They think God is calling them to do it, and it's not God. It's the enemy that's calling them to do that. And if they have an inspiration, a vision, so to speak, from the true God, from Jesus Christ, my hope is that they'll be as zealous for Jesus Christ as they were for this other cause.
Yes, that's right. And you won't find too many terrorists doing it in the name of Jesus. He was a Prince of Peace. So that's a fascinating idea. I mean, the fact is that we are continually hearing more and more stories of folks, particularly in the Middle East, actually having visions of Jesus. So I guess you're praying along those lines, are you? That these folks who, like you said, are so zealous for their cause and their cause of destruction would actually have some sort of maybe dream or vision or something along those lines?
Yes, actually, on the website, there's some some ideas about how to pray and some suggestions about what to pray for. And one of the important things to pray for is that they'll have a touch by the Spirit of God, a vision, a dream of some connection to Jesus Christ that calls them to repent, that calls them to change direction, that calls them to realize, you know, that the direction they've been pursuing, the way that they've thought that they were following God, was the wrong way.
Thomas Bruce is from an organization called Adopt a Terrorist for Prayer. What a concept. And the whole idea is, yes, you adopt a terrorist, you pray for them. That website, if you want to start checking it out, ATFP, Adopt a Terrorist for Prayer, atfp.org is the website address there. Just give me a bit of an idea as to the kind of people that you've actually got there that you're wanting people to pray for.
The database contains people who the FBI is looking for, or people who the FBI has caught and captured and put in detention, people who have, some of them have actually been found guilty and are sentenced, and some of them are awaiting trial. The majority of them are still being hunted down. Some of the other people that are up there are what are called sponsors of terrorism. We've limited the database to those who either the FBI is looking for or who the State Department has identified as belonging to or being head of a terrorist-supporting organization. And so, and obviously, you know, there could be, I mean, who is a terrorist? I mean, the definition of terrorist could, there's a lot of debate on what that definition is. And so I've decided I'm not choosing that definition. I'm using the definition that the U.S. State Department and the FBI uses.
Yeah, so you've got bomb plotters on there, you've got 9/11 facilitators and Al-Qaeda sympathizers and Taliban strategists.
My hope is that other countries, I mean, this is kind of U.S. focused, but it doesn't mean that, you know, if there's people who Australia is looking for, or people who France is looking for, or people who England is looking for, you know, they can start their own prayer ministry adopts for prayer programs for those specific databases as well.
Yeah. Where are you getting your information from? This is all just publicly available information?
Yes, it's all public on the State Department and FBI websites.
Yes. Okay. So what are you hoping for? Obviously for people to have visions and dreams, obviously for people to have a change of heart. Has anything encouraged you so far? I mean, this is hardcore, high-level prayer focus, really, isn't it? I mean, we're not really expecting that, you know, we pray and then 5 minutes later we see on the telly that, you know, one of them has actually gone and said, oh, yes, I just believe that I'm wrong. This is going to be a long-term kind of project. But anything that's encouraged you so far?
Well, there are a number of things. One is I think, you know, prayer has the potential to be used by God to impact the physical environment and situation, but it also changes us. The idea of loving your enemies is a way of reacting, preserving an independent action. If we respond to our enemies in anger and hatred, it's a very predictable response. It confines us, it binds us to a course of action that is very predictable. But by loving and praying, it creates in us an attitude and an approach that preserves much more of our freedom and opportunity. Because, I mean, I love my children. It doesn't keep me from disciplining my children. You have a broader spectrum of opportunities and a broader freedom to control yourself, to control how you relate to those around you.
Yes.
If you're not angry.
It's very hard to hate somebody you're praying for, isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
That's I think part of the reason Jesus asked us to do that.
Yeah, and the fact is that these people have done despicable things, but this is the very genius and the paradox of the very teaching of Jesus, is that he said, you pray, you love your enemies. It doesn't make any sense. It doesn't fit into a materialistic worldview. It's actually radical love towards those who are persecuting you. And of course, he did it himself as he's actually hanging on the cross there, and they're nailing him to two bits of wood, and they're casting lots for his clothes and all the rest, probably yelling insults at him and hurling abuse and probably laughing at him. He's saying, Father, forgive them. They don't know what they do. It doesn't make sense, but it is profoundly, deeply, radically spiritual and full of love, and that is what can actually change the world, which he actually proved.
Right. Other things I find hopeful, I'm hopeful that this movement can be a testimony to people who don't know Jesus, not just our enemies, but to show them that, you know, following Jesus Christ is an exercise of building a kingdom that is not of this world. It's a spiritual reality. It's a spiritual relationship with God and Jesus Christ that doesn't depend on material weapons. It doesn't depend on wealth. It doesn't depend on a political system. The whole challenge, the whole problem with the terrorists and the using violence to advance religion is that it makes religion a kingdom of this world.
Hmm.
Violence is a tool of the state. Violence is a tool of worldly entities. Jesus said at his trial, he said, "My kingdom is not of this world. If it were, my followers would rise up and fight for me."
Hmm.
The fact that the disciples didn't fight for Jesus when he was being taken to the cross proves that his kingdom, what he was building, was bigger than a political system on this earth. And so by praying for your enemies, by bringing the whole conflict into a spiritual dimension, trying to save their souls, so to speak, seeing that Jesus Christ can forgive them just as he has forgiven us, it brings, the whole perspective, outside of the plane of governments and revolution, and trying to build a kingdom on this earth with earthly tools.
Yes, absolutely. Have you had any opposition to what you do, Thomas?
Not really. I've had some ridicule. There's been no opposition, so to speak.
Yeah, and you haven't felt in danger or anything? You don't feel like your name is on some sort of list?
Well, I've actually been quite surprised about that. When I started this a few years ago, I was concerned, but there have been no threats and there's been no attacks. Mm. Like I said, just some ridicule. How stupid can that be?
Yeah, well, you can handle that, can't you?
Well, it's basically from people who don't believe in prayer and don't believe that God answers prayer. So if you don't believe that, then it would be stupid.
Yeah, of course, absolutely. The fact is, though, this really can change the world, and we've seen that happen right throughout history. All right, Thomas, well, thanks for your time, and I hope that people are going to jump onto the website and start getting involved in this, because it really is a radical display of love for one's enemies, and also it actually has spiritual power as well. It can actually bring quite some change to people's lives, to terrorists' lives, to victims' lives, and indeed the world as a whole. Thanks for joining us.
Well, thank you very much.
I think it'd be wonderful to get involved. ATFP, Adopt a Terrorist for Prayer, atfp.org is the website.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology. To hear more from Open House, visit openhouseonline.com.au.